Name of Allah, the Merciful, the Compassionate. All praises to Allah, the Creator of the universes and their Sustainer, the Provider of believers and unbelievers. And may His choicest blessings be on the seal of His prophets, the last of His messengers and His holy progeny. And in particular, may His incessant blessings ever flow on that fourth successor to the holy prophet, on Imam Zainul Abidin salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Having considered the political situation and acumen of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam yesterday, let us today examine some of the extraordinary incidents that occurred as a result of his spirituality. A number of mu'jizat have been recorded in respect of the fourth Imam alayhi salam. Time can only permit us to do a few of them. And I wish to start with one in which he showed concern for his Shia, his associates, his companion. It is the case of a person who goes to him and says, Ibn Rasulillah, I am your Shia. And the Imam says, yes, I know you very well. And he says, I am in desperate condition. I am in great financial strait and I need financial help urgently. When the Imam heard this, he just wept. He wept and wept. And this man says, Ibn Rasulillah, what have I caused this? What has happened that you weep so much? And the Imam alayhi salam says, alas, that you should have come to say this to me on this occasion when I have nothing with me. And so this man says, that is all right, Ibn Rasulillah, I will come on another occasion and I will see how I reorganize my affairs, but not to disturb you in this way. And the Imam alayhi salam says, it hurts me tremendously that a friend, a faithful, should come to me and I should not be able to help him instantly and procrastinate. Well, two things emerge here. It's a long matter, but before I forget these two points, I wish to put them before you for your consideration. Firstly, it shows how concerned the Imam alayhi salam becomes when we make a wish to him. And that is why we say they have always encouraged us to ask from them and to ask of them, because it is only through their intercession they know that our hajat can be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they've always kept their gates open, and it is clear that when they are not able to help, it is a matter of great disappointment to them, a matter of great distress to them that they have not been able to help immediately. Secondly, that their eagerness to help is such that they want to give help as soon as they can. I make this point because we are so hasty these days. One night we make Amal-e Ashura for a certain haja, the next morning, for example, if the child is not well, the next morning if the child is not well, we start complaining. I did the Amal last night and nothing happened. I wish we realized, and these are the instances that show how eager they are, that the relief we seek should reach us through them as speedily as possible. However, this gentleman appeased the Imam alayhi salam and left. With him left a group of people who were sitting in the company of the Imam alayhi salam, because he always had people around him, learning from him, asking him masail, and him teaching du'as to them. One of these people who left was a munafiq. He was a hypocrite. And he made a sarcastic remark. He says, look at these people. On one hand, they claim that they are able to control the heavens and the earth. And on the other, he could not give little help to this person who was so dear to him that he wept so much because he could not help. Can I pause to deal with that before we go further? Well, this incident shows that when we read these hadith about the charities of the Imam, for example, that every night he would go out with a bag delivering food. Every person who came, he gave money to. This hadith proves that all that money is not manufactured by him because he has a minting machine with him. He says, Ya Allah, and a million dirhams drop down. No, that was not the case at all. He earned every penny of it. He earned through his agricultural work, through his sweat and perspiration, and it was that from that earned income that the widows and the orphans received their share that evening. Because otherwise, so many ahadith flow as to how he could touch earth and the earth became golden coins. And he could have performed that marjizah if it was necessary. But that this hadith therefore shows that capacity of the Imam alayhi salam is only to be used when that extraordinary event, that marjizah from him of converting earth into gold, that effect that he can create by chemistry and through his knowledge of chemistry was only to be exercised when those occasions demanded that exercise, and not to be exercised at every time, particularly when a friend was in difficulty which could be averted or could be delayed. However, when this comment was made by this munafiq, this mu'min became seriously hurt. He went back to the Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam and said, Mawla, this man even made this comment. I now feel even more guilty than I did before. First, I felt guilty that I asked from you at the time, you couldn't help. Secondly, but that was a feeling between you and me. But this munafiq saying these words really pierces through my heart, and I'm not able to bear it. I did not want to take physical action. I thought I'd best consult you on this. And the Imam alayhi salam said, you did a good thing. Look, I will give you what I have so that this will quench your anger and your distress on these words. He calls his servants and says, what do we have in the house? And the servant says, O grandson of the Prophet, we only have two pieces of loaf. And these are for your iftar. But this is the household of Fatima wa Abiha wa Baaliha wa Baniha, as you know. This is the household of those who gave away their iftar to miskinan wa yateeman wa asira. So does the fourth Imam alayhi salam, and says, bring those two loaves and give them to him. And giving them to him says, take these loaves. From them you will get a lot of barakah and they will make you rich. This Shia could not understand what that meant. But with two hands he took the loaves, kissed them and went away. Just as he came out, the nafs, again, the inner self turns to him with the shaitan in purifying his thoughts. He says to himself, what do I do with these loaves? I can't even take them home. They are so hard. My teeth can't break them. How about my children? My intestines will not be able to digest them. They are that degree hard. Indeed, one can see therefore that the fourth Imam alayhi salam, Ali the second, ate exactly the type of loaf that Ali the first used to eat. That loaf which when he gave to the beggar, the beggar said, I can't eat this at all. How, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, do you break it? Do your teeth break it? And even Hazrat Amir alayhi salam, you remember in that hadith, said, no, I do not break this with my teeth. I break it with the help of my knees. That is the loaf. Ali the first would eat. That is the loaf we see that Ali the secondly eats. So he says, what do I do with them? Then it dawns on him that these are evil thoughts of mine. My Imam is far greater than that, and he has told me that I will get barakah from it, and I will become rich from it. The meaning of that is, I must sell them. So he goes to a fishmonger, and the fishmonger had one last fish he had already sold and wanted to go away, wanted to close his business for the day. But there was one fish in his hand. So he goes to him and says, "Oh fishmonger, sell that fish to me and I'll give you a loaf. I don't have money, but I'll give you this loaf in value of it." And the fishmonger got contented. It was the last fish he wanted to do away with. So he just gave the fish to this man, taking this loaf. From there he moves on, and he finds someone closing his shop again. He had a little salt left, which he wanted to dispose of. He didn't want to continue trading. So this man goes to the salt seller and says, "Look, you've got some salt left. Sell it to me." So the man says, "How much will you pay me?" He says, "I don't have money, but I've got a loaf of bread, and I'll give you a loaf of bread." And that salt seller says, "Fine, I'll take the loaf of bread and give you this salt." Now he's got the fish and he's got the salt. So he goes home. He doesn't have the two loaves now. Now he can give fish to his children, to his family, and to himself. So he goes home to cook the fish. He applies the salt, cuts open the fish. And when he cuts open the fish, lo and behold, to his surprise, he finds an expensive, bright, shining pearl in that abdomen of the fish. He understands the hadith of the fourth Imam immediately, that it will make him rich. He therefore decides that he should sell it at an appropriate price and should not hurry to sell it. Whilst he was looking after that pearl and dealing with the fish, there is a knock at the door. The man who sold him the fish comes. And now this man is a little worried that this person who sold the fish to me has come. He comes and says, "Oh man, that loaf you sold to me, so hard, I can't break it with my hands. How will my teeth break it?" So he says, "Well, I gave you the loaf I had, and you saw it then. It's not become harder since I left you." He says, "No, I'm not complaining. I've just come to return the loaf to you. Take this loaf and keep the fish also." Well, so now he has got the loaf too. And in a moment, there is another knock. So when there is another knock, he opens the door again, saying, "Now who?" Now it is the salt seller. But he deals with him with more confidence after what happened with the fishmonger. The salt seller says, "What loaf did you give me for my salt? I can't break it. It's so hard. How can a human being eat this?" This man says again, "This is the loaf you saw when I purchased the salt, and I have already used your salt. I've already applied it on my fish." The salt seller says, "You can keep the salt and have your loaf back." So he receives that loaf as well. He receives them because he thinks there is a barakah in them. And in a moment, there is a third knock on his door. And that third knock, the messenger says, "I come from Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi as-salam, saying, your purpose with the loaves has already been served. Return those loaves to him because he needs them for his iftar." That is Ali ibn al-Husayn, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And indeed, that person ultimately sold the pearl and made considerable money from it. And having made considerable money from it, he accosted that munafiq and said, "Do you know that this business I have purchased and the business I am now doing is all because what Ali ibn Husayn alayhi as-salam gave to me that day without your knowledge, without your appreciation?" He goes back to, and the munafiq still says, and you can see, as we shall inshallah discuss this in Surah Yasin, in which Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. They will never be able to see the truth, that lot of people whose on whom there is a veil in front of them and behind them, and they are covered with ignorance and ignominy. And the Imam alayhi salam says, "Don't let that disturb you. when the holy prophet went to Mi'raj, they denied even that. What stops them denying my virtues when they could deny the virtues of the holy prophet, may peace be upon him and his progeny. But the capacity of the Imam alayhi salam to help, and to help in such good times, is not restricted to human beings. It is indeed for all creatures. When that munafiq said, these people claim they can control the heavens and the earth, he said the truth, that they do, that they can, and in fact do. As Hazrat Amir alayhi salam showed, as Imam Hussain alayhi salam showed, again and again. As indeed Bibi Zainab alayhi salam showed, again and again during the journey, matters we have already discussed in 1977. However, the point I wish to make tonight is a preliminary to the point I will continue to make next year inshallah, and the year after inshallah, because each of the Imams that follow have shown this ability that Allah has given them over and over and over again. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam was sitting again in his majlis with his people, and suddenly a male deer walks in, and everybody was surprised because deer don't walk in human gatherings like that. They are normally scared. But this deer confidently walks in, goes up to the Imam alayhi salam, as it were knowing who the Imam alayhi salam was. It amazes us that these animals should know the excellence and the personality of the Imam alayhi salam, but humans should fail to see them. It is really a matter beyond belief. However, this deer goes to the Imam alayhi salam and bows before the Imam, seats himself respectably before the Imam, and starts muttering in his own language. The Imam alayhi salam listens to that deer intently, and having listened to it intently, pauses for a thought. The people around him, the companions, turned around and said, Yabna Rasulullah, what did this deer tell you that you are pondering over his explanation? Is he asking you a question? Is he learning something about the universe? The Imam alayhi salam says, no, he has brought a complaint to me. His complaint is that such and such a Quraysh took away his son yesterday, and till today now he has not returned the son. He says the son has not got milk. He is without milk since yesterday, and if he does not get milk, he will die. It will be useless to the person who has taken him, and be useless to the life of this son of mine, and useless to me. What good is it? And it hurts me, he says. He hurts me that my son should be without milk when I am in a position to provide him milk. So the Imam alayhi salam says, I'm considering how to get this Quraysh here. One of the persons says, no, I know where he would be. So the Imam alayhi salam says, go and bring him here. When that Quraysh is brought there, the Imam alayhi salam says, I've received a complaint against you from this deer. He says that you have taken away his son yesterday. And the Quraysh says, this is absolutely true. I have. I was hunting. I saw this deer, so I took this deer. But what is the problem? Was that haram? Or the Imam alayhi salam says, no, I'm not discussing matters of Sharia here. I'm discussing the matter of the sentiments of this animal. And it's heart-rendering when one hears such a statement from this Imam alayhi salam, who was treated so badly by so-called humans. He says, it is the sentiment of this father. He says, this son has not got milk since yesterday. Have you given him milk? And he says, no, but I would know. This is a deer. I would know whether he has had food or not, whether he has had milk or not. It's a very small deer. So the Imam alayhi salam says, well, such a small thing would not be able to fend food for himself. He needs the parents to provide food. So I would request you to hand over this deer to him so that he can feed him at least. So the Quraysh goes and brings the deer. When he brought the deer, the Imam alayhi salam hands the deer over to the father, but then says, hold on, say to the Quraysh, it is my request to you that you give this deer to me, this small deer that you have hunted, and ask for your price. He says, no, Ya Rasulullah, I do not want any price from you. If you, out of the sentiment of this father, want to have this deer yourself, you have the deer, you look after the deer or do what you want with him, he is a gift to you. And as the Imam thanks him for it, takes the deer and tells the father, this deer has been given to me as a gift by this Quraysh, and I am now giving it as a gift to you. Again, some words were muttered, some noises were made by this male deer before he went away with his son. The audience asked for Imam alayhi salam, what was he saying as he left? And the Imam alayhi salam said, he made dua. He thanked Allah and made dua, firstly for this Quraysh for giving the gift to me, and then he made dua for me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a fantastic episode. I put it to you only to show that the capacity of the Imam alayhi salam that I have so far mentioned, his spirituality, his ability to handle political situations as they arose quite successfully and thoroughly, his knowledge, alas, we may not have the time to deal with his teachings as I had intended to do one night, as we did last year with the teachings of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But be that as it may, despite all this, it shows that their capacity was not limited to dealing with men. Their capacity was such that they dealt with complaints from all over the place. Last year we dealt with the communication Imam Hussein alayhi salam had with that deer which was presented to him by the Holy Prophet when he was a little child. In Karbala, that deer came up saying, Hussein, you played with me when you were a child and I was a child. Now that you are in this trouble, I cannot live seeing you being martyred. Do you remember that episode? One can see that Ali ibn al-Hussein was no less, and this is well reported in all books. But the classic and classical event to show the authority of the fourth Imam alayhi salam is such that it goes far beyond humans and animals. And I'd like to put that to you because I promised those who were here on Thursday night that I would do so one of these evenings when we were discussing the mu'jizat of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. And it is this, that there has always been, although there are very few now, but there has always been a category of people who have regarded Muhammad al-Hanafiyyah as the Mahdi. They say he has not died, he is still alive. Muhammad al-Hanafiyyah, as you know, was a son of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and his bravery and excellence shone considerably in 15. But apart from being such a brave soldier and warrior, he was a man of very high dignity and integrity, honest to his perfection, and very learned. He was a faqih in his own right. He was a mufassir in his own right. Well, would he not be if he lived day and night with Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam all his life? And pious to that degree also. If you remember last year when we were discussing Mukhtar and dealing with this subject of Muhammad al-Hanafiyyah and Abdullah bin Zubair, we discussed how Muhammad ibn Hanafiyyah was allowed by Abdullah bin Zubair to leave. When he left, Abdullah bin Zubair sent armies behind him, but he managed to combat those armies, defeated them, and proceeded with his small group of companions right to a cave. And when he reached the cave, he said to them, now you cannot come any closer, you cannot enter this cave, I will enter the cave, Allah will provide me my rizq in this cave until I die. Well, that's the group of people who started saying, this is the Mahdi, and he will remain alive and come back. A total misconception. Muhammad al-Hanafiya himself always declined any such designations attributed to him. He always said he was but an ordinary human being, not an imam at any level, whether succeeding Imam Hussein alayhi salam or a Mahdi as the Holy Prophet had directed and taught. However, these people persisted in their beliefs. Earlier on in his life, there was that group of people who were saying that he was successor to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They said, and I touched on this on Thursday night, they said he is a descendant of Ali. And with Ali alayhi salam, the sons became Imam, because they said after Imam Hassan alayhi salam, the son of Imam Hassan did not become Imam, but his younger son Hussein became Imam, and after Hussein, therefore, the next son in line of seniority was Muhammad al-Hanafiya, hence he should become the Imam. And we will see henceforth that every Imam has had this problem. That's not Imam Ahmad Baqir alayhi salam, but there were those who did claim, yes, even he had that problem. So every Imam had this problem. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam dealt with it beautifully. But she had all the cooperation of Muhammad al-Hanafiya. So they claimed Muhammad al-Hanafiya was the Imam, and they visited him as an Imam. He told them, he tried to explain them. They wouldn't understand. They said, you are just too humble. You are too modest to accept this authority. But we know that you are. And all that because he was such a pious person, and he was such a learned person. And this is why I was saying on Friday night, and indeed on Thursday night, that it is not enough for us to know Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam only as a pious man, a man of akhlaq, a man of spirituality, a man of knowledge. We've got to recognize him as a Hujjatullah, for that is indeed what he was. However, Muhammad al-Hanafiya wanted to bring an end to this. He did not want to die with people thinking that he was an Imam succeeding Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He thought it was his responsibility to make this very clear. On one occasion, therefore, when he and Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam were in Makkah, he took the occasion, there is a lot of room inside, if you wish to come in please, and be more comfortable. Well, when he was in Makkah, and by chance Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam was also in Makkah, he sent a word to Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, saying that he wanted to have a private meeting with him. Didn't turn out to be absolutely private, and Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam instantly agreed. Well, when he met Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, he said, I have a claim to make against you. So Imam said, yes, surely. I don't owe you any money, I don't owe you any amana. What is the claim you want to make? He says, after Imam Hussein alayhi salam, I believe I am the rightful person to be the Imam of the Ummah. So Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam instantly asks him, have you been designated to be an Imam? Muhammad al-Hanafiya was at a level at which he could never lie. He said, no, I have not been designated to be an Imam. But I believe that Imam Hussein alayhi salam has not designated anybody to my knowledge. In my presence, he has not designated you or any other person to be the Imam. And therefore, because there is that vacancy, and there can never be a vacancy of an Imamah, as we have already discussed on Thursday night, then I have superior claim to you, because I am the son of Ali. And succession with Imam Ali alayhi salam went to his sons, one after the other, and I am the next senior son after your father. So I am entitled to this position. Secondly, I am your uncle. Thirdly, I am senior to you. Fourthly, I am in keeping with the hadith of the Holy Prophet, in line of Imam Ali alayhi salam. The Prophet said, only the successors of Ali alayhi salam would be Imam, and so am I. I am the son of Imam Ali alayhi salam. You can see how the case was laid. It was not his case at all. It was the case of those followers of his who kept saying that he was the Imam alayhi salam. Well, there is a saying in Gujarati which says that when you are making food and it's all in the big pot and you put the spoon in the pot, very soon the spoon becomes hotter than the pot itself. And that was the position there. Those who were the spoons became hotter than the pot itself. However, they say, Dej karta chamcha garam. That is how those Gujarati words go. And that was the position then with the adherents of in Muhammad al-Hanafiya. But the Imam alayhi salam tackled that beautifully. He said, no, my uncle, all that is not correct. First of all, let me put you right. Before the martyrdom of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, my father, he passed to me all the symbols of Imamah. Before he left, he saw me, he passed to me all the weapons and all the books of the Holy Prophet, may peace be upon him and his progeny. And then said to me, you cannot take them to Karbala because they are going to take away all our properties. They will confiscate all our goods. They will be with them for a while. These cannot be in impious hands. So he left them with Umm Salima, as we have already discussed. Again, on Thursday night it was. And on my return, she handed them over to me dutifully. Those weapons are with me. Those books are with me and I can produce them. Are you able to produce them? Because if you were to be the Imam, you should have had either possession of them or you should have had knowledge of their existence. You didn't even know where they are, but they are lying with me. He appointed me. And before he left, 1 hour before his martyrdom, the Imam alayhi salam gave exact timing in that hadith. He says, 1 hour before his martyrdom, my father came to see me and appointed me his successor, entitled as the Hujjatullah fi Ardih, as the Imam of all the Mu'mineen. And this is how I claim my credentials. Muhammad Hanafiya just lowered his head and said that if you say you are older, then that has never been the consideration. It is the designation that has been the important criterion. And as for the fact that you flow from the progeny of Ali alayhi salam, that is not enough, because the Holy Prophet has said that those only will be Imams who come from the progeny of Ali alayhi salam, from Fatima Zahra salamullahi alayha. And it is clear, he added, that Imamah will only show from the progeny of Hussain alayhi salam. You do not come from the progeny of Hussain alayhi salam. I will not detain you on this. We have discussed it last year, that for the martyrdom that Imam Hussain alayhi salam sustained and underwent, the magnitude and magnanimity with which he underwent that, Allah gave him 3 rewards instantly in this world. His reward in the hereafter is too high even to be recounted, including his right to intercede for us, his followers. But in the world he was given 3 rewards straight away. The first of this was Shafa'a fi turbati, Ijaba tahta qubbati, wal imama fi naflih. That there is Shafa'a in his turba, what we call Khaka Shafa'a. Whenever we are in problems, a sickness that has no cure, Khaka Shafa'a has cured so many. We say this because we know this from years of experience. It is not a medicine we are taking today. It's a medicine we have been taking for centuries. And hence, we do not even bury our dead unless we put a little Khaka Shafa'a with him, so that he carries it with him when he becomes ill, when seeing Munkar and Nakir, that earth is of value to him then. It is not put there for nothing. He needs it all the time, and all the time it is of immense help to that marhum. Well, that is the first benefit first reward to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that there is shafa'ah, there is cure in the earth which forms his grave. Secondly, there is ijabah, Allah fulfills all those wishes that are sought under the qubba of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. In other words, at the gravesite of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Anybody asking for a wish at the gravesite of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is granted. And hence, the flock of people all the time, hence, whatever Mutawakkil did or did not do, whatever the succeeding tyrants did to that grave or they did not, whatever the present tyrants do to that grave or not, you always see a flock of people, not for nothing. Experience over centuries has taught that that is the place from where wishes are accepted by Allah without question. Wishes of sinners also are accepted by Allah in His mercy and through His grace on Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Sayyid Sajjad put that argument to Muhammad ibn Hanafiyah and said the imama, according to the hadith of the Holy Prophet, which you know of, flows from progeny of Fatima to Zahra salamullahi alayha, and indeed through Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Were these arguments not enough? Wouldn't the kind of man I have described Muhammad Hanafiya to be not have satisfied him? But obviously he had no axe to grind. He knew this too well himself. It is his people whom he wanted to satisfy. And hence he says, Yabna Rasulullah, let us leave these arguments aside. If you truly are the Imam of his time, then let us go to Hajar Aswad. And we ask Hajar Aswad, the black stone in the corner of the Kaaba, as you know. We ask Hajar Aswad, who is the Imam? You or I? And Hajar Aswad will know the truth. Imam Zain al-Abidin says, surely, if there is any person on earth who knows who the Imam is, it is Hajar Aswad. Because there is a complete record in the Hajar Aswad of all the Awsiya'ullah wa Hujajullah. They are all there. And he will of course know. So Muhammad ibn Hanafiya says, let us go and ask him. But this was a conversation at a level. For humans, we would have said, how can a stone speak? We would have treated it as unfortunately the custodians treat the stone today. People going to kiss the stones are whipped. Well, that's the our appreciation of the value of that stone. Those personalities, those from the progeny of Imam Ali alayhi salam, thought differently. They knew so much better. So an appointment was made. They were both in Makkah then. An appointment was made to meet at Hajar Aswad, and they did meet. When they met, of course, the companions on both sides were present. It was now a public gathering. And Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says to Muhammad Hanafiya, you claim to be senior, you are my uncle, so you be the first to ask Hajar Aswad to confirm that you are the Imam. And so Muhammad Hanafiya goes forward and prays to Allah, saying that if I am truly the Imam, and if that Imama is in me, cause Hajar Aswad to give testimony to that, make salam to Hajar Aswad. There was no response at all. Not that he expected any response, but there was no response at all. And he retreated. Having retreated, says, Oh my nephew, now you go ahead and you make your claim, and let us see if Hajar Aswad accepts your claim. Because theoretically it was possible that neither of those claims could be true. And so Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam goes forward, and in his spirituality and in his sanctity turns to the Hajar Aswad and says, Oh Hajar Aswad, you are the repositor of all the names of the Anbiya and Awsiya and Hujajullah, and all of them made their covenants to Allah and made their promises to Allah in your presence, and you kept a record of it, and you have got a record of the promises and covenants made by all humanity. Hence, you are the person who knows who is the true Hajj of Allah today. Indeed, hadith goes so far that even you and I, little sinners, when we go past the Hajar Aswad in our tawaf, and make our salams to Hajar Aswad, each salam is recorded by Hajar Aswad. And each of those salams will be produced on the Day of Judgment in our favor by Hajar Aswad saying, this person respected me and made his salam to me. Hence, that companion who shouted evil words to Hajar Aswad, you can imagine what his fate would be and what the evidence would be against him. However, to continue with my narration, when Hajar Aswad was addressed in this way, Hajar Aswad took a jerk that everybody heard, and everybody thought that it will drop in a minute, but it didn't. It protruded out, and having protruded out, in beautiful sonorous Arabic said that Ali ibn al-Husayn is the Hujjatullah at the moment, for he is the right successor to Husayn alayhi salam in whose only progeny Imam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies. And when those words were uttered, Muhammad al-Hanafiya did a classic thing. He immediately rose and kissed the feet of Imam Zayn al-Abidin alayhi salam and says, I make your bay'ah as Hujjatullah. Well, Muhammad al-Hanafiya, of course, was trying to tell his people that now you can't call me an imam because I myself have made bay'ah of another person. So I, making bay'ah of another person, cannot be an imam. Therefore do I keep saying, as I did say in 1999, that there is no question of Imam Ali alayhi salam having ever made bay'ah of any person at all. By same logic, and as a consequence, as a corollary to the same principle. But we have discussed this and I will leave it alone. The point I wish to make is that on Thursday night, I was at pains to prove the imamah of the fourth imam alayhi salam and submitted to you the best of the arguments, the argument of Afdal and Makhdool. And Muhammad al-Hanafiya has it's on record that Muhammad al-Hanafiya has addressed Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam as Afdal to him in a matter in which Mukhtar was consulting Muhammad al-Hanafiya. When Mukhtar, you remember we discussed this last year, when Mukhtar sought guidance from Muhammad al-Hanafiya, he said, no, I cannot guide you until I speak to Ali ibn al-Husayn because he is afdal to me. We went through this last year, even he acknowledged that to Mukhtar when advice was sought to him in Makkah and Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam was in Medina. However, you can see that this capacity that we are talking about in respect of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam does not lie only within precincts of humans, but it goes much beyond. It goes beyond all that to the extent that even a Hajar Aswad, a stone, bears testimony, becomes vocal and speaks only to prove the imamah of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. But can I ask you to condescend a little? We are flying at high levels. Let us come down a little and see whether we can fit in somewhere. And it is the episode of prayer for rain. Prayer for rain is a matter, a mu'jiza that you have heard of again and again and again. Because the 12th Imam alayhi salam was born as a result of that prayer for rain that was needed from Imam Hasan Askari alayhi salam. And we have seen this on numerous occasions. But there is a significance to this particular event. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam was in Makkah. A whole group of pilgrims was there. They had no water at all. Total drought. So there was desperation. And when there was desperation, the most pious of them led them to Kaaba. They made tawaf, they recited the namaz for rain, they begged Allah, pleaded to Allah to give them water, nothing happened. In the meantime, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam enters the haram. When they see him, they go to him and mention to him their plight. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam says, is there nobody amongst you who is a friend of Allah? They were shattered by this question. They said, well, We can only pray to Allah. It is for Allah to accept our wishes or not. And he says, Allah never rejects the wishes of his friends, of those whom he loves. However, he immediately went into sajda, and a small dua from him, saying, O Allah, for the sake of that love that you have for me, that is all he put forward to Allah, for the sake of that love that you have for me, give these people the water that they need, quench their thirst and alleviate their suffering. He had not lifted his head from the sijda, and there was water pouring. When they came to him to kiss his hands and feet, he said, didn't I tell you, Allah never rejects the prayer of those whom he loves. Well, that is where we should stand. It's a serious standard that he put for us, serious standard that he put for humanity as a whole. But when we talk of a mu'jiza like that, for the fourth Imam alayhi salam, what have we taught? It's a common thing for the fourth Imam alayhi salam to do a thing like that. The important point I want to make is this, that Mas'udi, not a Shia writer, Mas'udi in his book says that it is reported to him by Sa'id bin Musayyab that on one occasion in Mecca, in Medina, sorry, in Mecca, there was no water at all, no rain, total drought. And the people called the Qadi to come and lead prayers, and he led prayers, and it was all dry. Not a cloud appeared. But he saw one black person leaving the congregation. He went aside on the talla, and there he recited his prayers. He went into sajda. He then stood up, lifted his hands and prayed. And as his hands were still lifted and he was still praying, because Saeed moved around to him to say, why does this man leave the congregation? What is he up to? So he followed him. He couldn't hear exactly what was being said, but he saw the sense. The context was, give us rain because people are now suffering. Your people, your creatures are now suffering. And he was still in the course of prayer, and there the clouds gathered and it began to rain. And people dispersed. So did this man. But Sa'id said, now I followed him. I knew this is the prayer that has brought the rain. So I followed him. When I followed him, I saw that he went to the house of Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi salam. So I went in, and Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi salam was present. I said to him that I want to take over one of your servants. And the Imam said, why not, Sa'id? If you think you need him more than I do, have him. So he said, but I don't know his name, but I can identify him. So the Imam alayhi salam called all his servants. They are lined up. And because they were servants of all categories in an agricultural concern. Saeed says, no, he's not here. It's obvious that he has hidden himself. So the Imam alayhi salam tells the chief of them, says, who is missing? So the chief says, yes, so and so is missing, I'll bring him. He goes and brings him, and Saeed says, yes, that is the man that I want. And the Imam alayhi salam turns to him and said, I have given you over to Saeed, so from this day you can serve him instead of serving me. And this man starts crying. He turns to Saeed and says, what is it that has made you come and part me from my Mawla? I've lived with this spiritual soul for ever since I started working. Why do you want to cause this distance between me and him? I cannot part from him. I find it very hard to part from him. So the Imam alayhi salam is disturbed and asks him, what is it that makes you take him away from me then? Answer his question, and he sets out the whole narration. He says, Ya Mawlai, if a servant of yours can lift his hands towards Allah And for your sake, pray for rain. When the Qadi and the Ulama are praying, and their prayers are not accepted. And here is just a servant of yours praying, and instantly rain comes. What level would your servants be having? That is a servant I would like to have near me, so that my akhirah, my hereafter, is taken care of. So the Imam alayhi salam turns to him and said, "You have heard what Sa'id has to say." He turns round to the Imam alayhi salam and said, "Mawlai, I wanted that to be a secret between me and my Allah." What asceticism are we talking about? This is osmosis. Even those who lived with Imam alayhi salam, serving him in his household, became ascetic to that level, that he turns to the Imam alayhi salam and says, "Mawlai, I wanted that to be a secret between me and my God, that I should pray for humanity, only for humanity, selflessly, and Allah should accept that prayer of mine and give grace to humanity out of my prayer, out of my servitude to you." But now that mixes, that confidentiality between me and my God has been shaken and has been torn. Another human being has come to know what passes between me and my God. What am I here to live for now? What is the purpose of my life now? More so, if you are to pass from me. And he went into sajda and prayed to Allah that he did not wish to live anymore. When the Imam saw, he was so disturbed, he asked Sa'id to go. He said, "Look, Sa'id, I think you must leave us. You are causing a lot of distress." And Sa'id instantly left the house of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. But he said, in a matter of a few hours, 2 or 3 hours, a messenger of the Imam alayhi salam comes and gives me a message that if you want to attend the Salatul Mayyit and the burial of that particular servant you wanted to buy, hasten to my house now, because we are preparing to bury him. You can see the level to which the servants of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam were elevated, level at which their prayer to Allah became so important. And all these mu'jizat had an effect on those servants. We recite these mu'jizat in these gatherings not for nothing. These are no exaggerations at all, because there is authentic evidence of all of it having happened in various books. As I said, I have quoted Sunnah books for these episodes also. We narrate them because just as that servant had that influence, that inspiration into him to reach the level to which he raised himself only as a servant of the Imam alayhi salam, we, by obtaining inspirations from these miracles in these sittings, can inshallah, with the help of Allah and the help of the Imam alayhi salam, reach some way towards that level. We do not have to remain at this low level at which we perpetuate ourselves. We can uplift ourselves through this education, through this knowledge, and reach that level too, if this servant whom Sa'id wanted to take over could have reached that level. But this is what we see in Karbala. And I kept saying this repeatedly last year. I'm sure you are not bored of it, because there is so much strength in spirit of these words. That mere association with Imam Hussein alayhi salam made so many people into angelic activities. Hur was a personality we discussed last night. He changed only because of his association with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Habib ibn Mazahir, another learned faqih, was known to be able to achieve these results through his asceticism. He was known to be able to predict things that will happen. He was able to kill a lion without approaching him, only by praying to Allah that the lion be killed. The level of his prayers, why not? If he too prayed as a servant of Fatima Zahra salamullahi alayha, where would he reach? Indeed, this is what Fizza always claimed, that when she wanted to pray for something, she would pray saying to Allah, "Oh Allah, I am a servant of Fatima, and for her sake, and for the sake of being the servant of Fatima, accept my prayers." We all claim to be servants of Fatima. We should be able to attain that level, and inshallah, with perseverance in these gatherings, we shall one day attain that level before our souls part from our bodies. But that is where Habib ibn Mazahir was. But the greatest pain Habib ibn Mazahir was. So in Karbala was the situation of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That death he met was a matter of glory and pleasure for Habib. But Habib, seeing the condition, the circumstances in which Imam alayhi salam at his level and at the level at which he knew the Imam to be, seeing the Imam in those circumstances was the most painful to Habib alayhi salam. I do not wish to discuss his shahada tonight. I want to discuss this pain that he suffered. The first of that pain is the moment he receives this letter from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And how was that letter written? Troops after troops come into Karbala. Bibi Zainab alayhi salam asks Imam Hussein, "What are these troops?" And Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, "Umar ibn Sa'd with so many, Shimrat al-Jawshan la'anatullah with so many, Sinan with so many, Harmala," figures mounting up. Bibi Zainab alayhi salam one day says to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, "Oh my brother, isn't there one person you can also call?" And Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, "Yes, I will presently write a letter to Habib that Habib should come." What great level of Habib. How fortunate Habib that Bibi Zainab alayhi salam should be inviting his brother to invite Habib to Karbala. When that letter reaches Habib, Habib begins inwardly to cry and say, "In what circumstances is Hussein that he should now be seeking help from a slave like me?" But he did not weep then, because they were having food with his wife. His wife says, "The food has stuck in my neck. This is an omen that you have received some bad news. Tell me what it is." Habib says, "What can I tell you? The grandson of the Prophet has written to me a letter to say that he needs my help and calls me to Kufa." The wife says, "So Habib, will you proceed straight away?" He says, "Well, you will be alone. I have things to sort out. I have things to put right." And Habib's wife turns round to him and says, "Oh Habib, woe unto you. If you are not going, you can have my chadar. Give me your raba. Give me your sword. I will go to hell." Habib cried out. He said, "I was crying at the level, at the circumstance, at the loneliness in which Hussein now is." He decides to move out. Circumstances were ferocious, they were terrible, they were horrible circumstances. So he first sends his horse out, tells him to graze there and be prepared for it, and sends his slave out, a servant, so that he looks after the horse and keeps things, the saddle, etc., ready. He is a little delayed getting himself ready, getting his sword ready. When he comes out, he sees the horse crying, tears coming out from the eyes of the horse. He turns to the horse and says, "Why are you weeping?" He says, "Hussein is in problems in Karbala, and you, my rider, are delaying to go there." This is the state of animals with regard to Hussein alayhi salam. Those humans never came to recognize him. Habib says, "No, I will delay no more. I will get on and I will pedal on right up to Karbala." When he reaches Karbala, what he finds, that his servant also came with him. He turns to him and says, "But why did you come?" And the answer was, "You said Hussein is alone in Karbala and we need to help him." So these two come in. When Habib comes into Karbala, history records that the first person who sent salam to him through Imam was Bibi Zainab alayha salam, saying, "Oh my brother, tell Habib that Zainab sends salam to you." Habib immediately falls on the ground and says, "Mawla, what is your plight that this daughter of Fatima should be sending salam to a slave like me?" And Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, "Habib, I needed a friend to be with me
And I thought you should come with me and be with me. Habib says, Mawla, for how long? I need your friendship more in heaven than on earth. Imam alayhi salam says, no, I need you here on even for the few hours that are left. And then when Ashura day comes, Muslim ibn al-Sajjah goes before Habib. When he goes before Habib, and Muslim ibn al-Sajjah is about to die, they were his last moments. Three people were around him. There was Habib, because Habib in age was so close to Muslim ibn al-Sajjah, both in ages. There was Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and of course Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam, Muslim ibn al-Sajjah. Habib says to him, oh Muslim, you are now in your last moments. How fortunate that you are going to the Holy Prophet. But if you have any wasiyah, I have a few more hours than you have. Perhaps a few more minutes. If you have a wasiyah, make a wasiyah to me so that I may fulfill. Muslim ibn al-Sajjah says, Habib, I have only one wasiyah for you. Take care of this personality. Pointing at Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Say, Habib, beware of him. Make sure no arrow touches him so long as you are alive. Habib says, Muslim, my promise, no arrow will touch Hussein until I am alive. And there was Habib next to Hussein until the last moment, until Habib also collapses and says, Ya Aba Abdullah, adrikni. And at that time, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam goes to Habib, he Habib says, Mawla, don't grieve over me. Your grandfather is already with me. I will say to Habib, Habib, Hussein may not have grieved of you then, but when Hussein was alone, yanzuru ila yaminihi wa shimali, Hussein now alone turns to the right, turns to the left. Nobody who tells him the first name he mentions is Aida Aida, Habibi, Habib ibn Bazahir. Where is my friend Habib ibn Bazahir when I'm now left alone? Ala la'natullahi ala al-qawmi al-zalimeen, wa sayya'lamu al-lazina zalamu wa ayyamun khalabin yanqalibun, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, rahmallahu man yakra al-fatiha.